Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Wonder what you tell me now.
Fire!
need a color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
And amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. Always grateful, always thankful to be here amongst the living. Never take it for granted what God does for me each and every day. I know I needed his strength throughout these last few weeks, and I just thank him for being in the midst and being in my presence and being my protector, being my guide. And I know that you probably feel the same way. So many of us are just going through, and that's all we're doing. We're simply going through because we know and understand that God is a good God and he's a great God. We may go through some challenges here and there, but one thing I will say that we will not be in that challenge forever. God said trouble don't last always, and I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that because of that, we know that the good days are yet to come, and we thank God even for the bad days to keep us stronger, wiser, and better. And when I really think about oneness and when I think about oneness forever, it does my heart well when I know that individuals recognize, know, and understand that it does take really a lot of work, a lot of effort that we put into our marriages each and every day. It's not a weekly thing, a monthly thing. It's not a yearly thing. It's a daily thing. As a matter of fact, it's a minute thing because there could be things that come up and things that happen that cause havoc amongst your marriage. And it's up to you whether or not you do the necessary work to make sure that that marriage will last forever. Communication is key in everything we do, no matter what it is. And I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that tonight is a night that we will speak about oneness, and we speak about it as it relates to it will last and can last forever if only you desire for it to be that way by putting the necessary work into it. Think about when you started your job and things that occurred on your job when you first started within the first week or two. You really didn't know much. And then you started growing. Within a year, you knew a little bit more. Within 5 years, you knew a whole lot more. Probably by 10 years, you're moving on up. You're in management. You're doing some great things. You're training others. And just think about how many of us have the ability, if we put the energy and the effort into our marriages and recognize and know and understand what it is that God desires for each and every one of us to have, how powerful and how strong we can really be. And when we think about true oneness is forever, it really can be, but you have to do your part as an individual, as a spouse, to make sure you're carrying your weight. And I just want to welcome you all tonight. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, thanking God for him and the teachings that he has prepared before us tonight. I want to just thank God, as always, for just ordering each and every one of our steps, helping us be the best spouse on this side of heaven, helping us learn how to be the best spouse on this side of heaven that we can possibly be. When that right time comes, when God says that he has someone special for you, and when he brings that woman to that man to that woman, because we know in the word it says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And so I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that there is someone out there for everyone special. And I just pray and I hope that you give God the ability to be able to work on your behalf. Just want to always thank you once again for standing in agreement with each and every opening prayer we have, because that's when we usher in the Spirit. There's nothing I can do without this and that Minister Jesse can do without the Spirit. There's nothing, as a matter of fact, that you can do without the Spirit when you come on and you share through transparency things that's working for you, that's allowing your marriage to last forever. I mean, it's not something that it takes a rocket scientist to figure out how to make a marriage work. I think if we're taking care of business at home and we're doing the things that we need to do at home, it gives us the opportunity now to be able to look down the road to say, we've been together 10 years, we've been together 20 years, we're going to be together forever. And that's because you've done what it takes to stay together that long. And I'm just praying God's grace and his mercy on each and every one of us. I'm hoping and I'm praying that God gives us strength and he helps us understand the things that we need to do to be able to be successful in this thing called oneness. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for yet another day for allowing us to come before your throne. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you will give us all words of wisdom and allow us, Lord God, to be able to come forward and speak about, Lord God, what this topic is tonight, Lord God, because we understand and know, Father, the importance of knowing, Father God, why, Father, we do our part to be able to understand and know that oneness is always an opportunity for us to have true oneness to last forever. And we can do that by doing the right things, by studying your word on the roles that we have as individuals, as a husband and as a wife, and being able to respect one another, being able to love on each other, support each other. Let us continue to open up the communication in the manner in which you desire it for, and let us put you first in that communication. Let us seek your face first before any decisions are made. Let us understand and know what we must do as individuals as we go forward, Lord God. I know I'm no saint, and I know that I sin, and I know that I'm not perfect, and so therefore, every now and then, I might have to go to my husband and ask him for forgiveness. I know he's not perfect, and every now and then, I know he may need to come to me and ask for forgiveness, but I just thank you, Lord God, that we've understand what that wonderful word is all about, and I ask right now that you give us all the ability to be able to exercise our right to ask for forgiveness and to forgive when it's been asked unto us. And that we'll see, Father God, how our relationship can just flourish and go so strong. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would be with every marriage that might have a little turmoil going on in their marriage that is just not 100%. I just pray tonight, Lord God, that you help every marriage, Father God, have a better understanding of what it is that they must do and how they must do it. I pray tonight, Lord God, Holy Spirit, that you come and meet us right now in our time of need. We need you right now. There's nothing that we can say or do or touch without your presence. So Holy Spirit, may your presence be upon us right now, even as I speak. I thank you that even for those that desire to speak tonight, Lord God, that you would open up their hearts and give them the unction to be able to come forward by them just hearing and feeling your soft, sweet voice. Father, we know that you have not given them the spirit of fear, but Father, we understand and know what it means to operate in power, love, and a sound mind. And tonight I declare and I decree that on anyone that desires to speak out and share even some of the things, Father God, that you have, that you even said to them to help them along with their marriage to have longevity. And so I just pray that we recognize, know, and understand that not everybody is doing well in their marriage, but with us sharing through transparency, because we all go through good days and bad days, and we have to fight our way back through and back to those good days. And I pray, Lord God, that someone's willing to open up their mouths tonight by pressing one on their phone and coming forward and speaking, Father, on the behalf of you, because we know, Lord God, when they come forward, it's because you, Father, sent them this way. And so we just pray blessings on top of blessings for each and every one of them, declare and decree in the mighty name of Jesus that the anointing will be upon them as they come forward and share through transparency. Be with my husband, Lord God, Minister Jesse, as he comes forward, as he continues to lead God and direct us, Lord God, on the Blog Talk Radio Show each and every Monday night. Thank you right now, Lord God, even in advance for Minister Leah Killings and all that you're doing in her life and all that you're going to continue to do and show her the way, Lord God, on how to continue to minister to all of her prayer warriors that comes on each and every day, all of the individuals that believe in you, understand you, and want to learn a little bit more about your word. Give her the ability, Lord God, to pour into them every Monday night. Let her be able, Lord God, to be a blessing to somebody else. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for tonight, for allowing Minister Jesse and I to do just that as well, to be a blessing to somebody else by hoping to help make a difference in their marriage. So go and be with us, Lord God, thousandfold. May it be placed upon my husband tonight as he comes forward with your word. Thank you that you will be his mouthpiece. He will step aside and allow everything that flows from his mouth to come from you. I thank you as always, Lord God, for any input that you provide me, that you tell me that I need to give, Lord God, to be able to, Father God, balance us out a little bit and know that there is always a different way that men think than women think, but there's no right or wrong. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for togetherness and for oneness. how you allow us, Lord God, to minister to one another together. And so I just thank you, Lord God, for this day and every day that you give me to glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Well, let the church say amen one more time. Praise God and thank God for the beautiful introduction, beautiful prayer by my wife, my queen. True oneness is forever. There's so much going on in our world that will have us to believe it is something otherwise. So much is going on, especially in the realm of relationships, that people will say you must be smoking something to believe that it's possible. Yeah, Tammy, I know you and I have been going through a lot of changes in these past few years and past few months and past few weeks and past few days that will allow us to begin the process of really thinking about ourselves, what we want to do in that pursuit, in that pathway to oneness. When we think about our lives, all of us have situations and realities that sometimes will keep us from thinking about or getting into a thought process of what do we do now that this has happened. We have children that become grown, and some may be in college, and some that are just grown and they're working and doing other things. And at one point in your life, part of your goals and objectives, and know it was for us, Tammy, was to do everything you could to support your children. And oftentimes you would sacrifice and give up many of the things that you love to do yourself in your effort to support and enable your children to do whatever it was they were doing. You may have known many times that they were going to get the fulfillment of that particular activity in elementary or middle school or high school or college. And that you knew that whatever some of those activities may have been, that was not going to be the activity that would sustain them in this capitalistic society. Yet you did everything you could to support them, that they might be able to realize the fullness of their desired activities. Some kind of way, during that process, some lost that same zeal, that same perspective of their marriages. And so then when those days passed, and now the time came where now they were so-called empty nesters. So many of us did not think, feel, or believe that it would be a challenging point in time. Yet when we get to that point of reality in our lives, we feel that it is, and we find that it is, or we find that it could be a challenge. Now, why do we say that? We say that because there are so many studies and so much information available that say during that time period, we may be going through menopause, may be going through physical challenges and issues for both the man and the woman in the marriage. And there's got to be a renewed establishment, a renewed vision that takes place. Because if you have children and those children now represent 30 years of your life, 40 years of your life, whatever number of years it may have been from your first child to your last child, to where you made a commitment to them to be everything they could be. And it didn't matter if you was a single parent or if you were a parent where there was a mother and a father. It took a lot of you. And when it took a lot of you, there was a lot of you that was not going into your spouse, that you were not invested into your spouse. It's like sometimes when you think about developing a family and growing a family, you have such a high level of commitment to that duty that we sometimes, Tammy, I believe, forget about the duty we have to each other. And so oneness, though, true oneness is forever. It understands that you're going to go through various phases and stages of life. It doesn't mean, like Tammy said, that you're not going to miss it every now and then, that the opportunity is going to present itself, but you miss it every now and then because we are mere human beings. And being the fact that we are mere human beings, that means that we may miss an opportunity sometimes when it shows up right in our face to be able to do something that would, even with a child, help a child grow, help a child develop. Sometimes this, when our children was growing up, it may have been better to say no than to say yes. But many of us had this idea in our mind, Tammy, think about it. Oh, we want our children not to experience what we experienced, not to go through what we went through. Some of us sometimes then later on found out that since they didn't go through what we went through, since they didn't have the same kind of experience in their inventory of life, they sometimes miss the mark and didn't get it because we had sheltered them. We had done everything we could to make sure they didn't go through the grueling humiliation perhaps that we may have gone through on a various numbers of subject matter. So we wanted tonight to talk about, though, now once we get past all of that, once we get, and you may be young in your marriage, you may be 40, 35, 25, and you may be saying, oh, this is not pertinent to me. Yes, it's pertinent to you. Because you have children, or you're going to have children, it's very pertinent to you. Because one of the things, Tammy, that we did that we're going to get back to that I love, that we put a delay on again for our children for a period of time, is just getting away. Just getting away and get into a mode of refreshment. Just getting away. And see, we want to encourage you tonight that when you have an opportunity where you just want to get away, that you take advantage of it. That you do it when you're young, you do it when you're in your middle life, and you do it when you're older. The things that may change sometimes may be the destinations. The destinations may be changed because as you grow and as you mature, you may then begin to see life and see the desires of life in a different manner, that you want to expand your consciousness, your mind, your perspective on so many things. So you can then begin to develop that bucket list, as they would call it. Now that you're into this oneness is forever, that you want to learn and grow together as husband and wife and understanding the things of the world more dynamically and more objectively. So I know, Tammy, I want to go to the motherland, been to the northern part of the continent of Africa, but would like to go to some of the other parts of Africa, you know, just to see it for ourselves, to see it for, to see what it's really like, to be able to feel the spirit of God. I know, I believe you want to like to go over to Europe, specifically over to France, and that may mean you have to bone up on your French. You know, they got these programs today, though, they tell me that they're able to help you speak enough phrases that when you go to another country, you'll be all right. Because quite naturally, the human brain has the capability to learn anything. Yeah, a child that was born in Japan of American parents going to a school in Japan, guess what? Child knows how to speak Japanese. A child born somewhere over what they call the Middle East learns Arabic, comes back here, and also learns, has English. They're bilateral, you know, they have multiple languages, and to them it's no big deal. It's just the way they was raised. I remember Tammy going up to Vancouver, British Columbia, seeing little children running around speaking English, Chinese, and French. Could you imagine that? Being an international business person with the capability of speaking 3, 4, 5, 6 languages? My goodness, what kind of capacity do we have in these minds? And so many of us have lived lives, most of us, on the plantation. We call it the plant. Doesn't matter what kind of plant it is, it's a plantation. And so we just tonight really want to use this as a night of encouragement to all of us. And knowing that true oneness is forever. That even as you go through some of these phases and stages of life, it really doesn't matter. But tell me, I want you to share a story that happened to you just this past week. Because what we want you to also understand, the enemy is busy. The enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You may remember that particular scripture that's in John 10:10, where Jesus himself made this statement. The enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. But he came to give life and to make it and give it more abundantly. A terrible thing happened in this war that we've been going through, and we've been going through some spiritual warfare, serious spiritual warfare, for the last 7-8 years. Really, about 3 or 4 years after we got into this particular ministry stream, this particular flow, the enemy has come and tried to take us out several times. But I believe the prayers and the covering of so many men and women that walk in the fruit of the Spirit, that speak with audacious faith, is what oftentimes allows all of us to go through the trials and tribulations that are designed to keep us from being oneness or pursuing true oneness. But tell me, why don't you just share with our audience, if you don't mind? I believe it's a powerful testimony. What happened to you this last week? Because, again, the enemy has no respect of person. He's trying to take you out. He's trying to take your marriage and break your marriage up. But something happened that I believe was so powerful that God also gives us a glimpse sometime of how angels must be present. You may not see them, but things would happen that cause you to know there must have been an angel on assignment. And when these angels are on assignment, they're going to handle their business, and you can be safe and you can be secure in what you do. What happened to you that you might want to share with the audience?
Well, Jesse, I will tell you, I do believe that God watches over us. We pray about that day in and day out, that have a covering, have a protection over us, and angels to watch over us. And I do believe that there are some wonderful angels that do watch over us. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that I had a couple I know watch over me on last Thursday. And I went into to their establishment. I was trying to get there early to be able to get the food that I needed to take to a luncheon that I had that afternoon, early afternoon, late morning. And when I went in, I was on high alert because while I was sitting in the car, I seen a young gentleman, you know, one of our precious black men walking around with their pants halfway down their butt. And I looked up and I just began to pray, Lord, just help our young black men because they need some help. And I know it's not just a young black man. I guarantee you there's other ethnicities that also are doing that. And I just hope God helps all of the young men the way they're dressing. And then as he got closer to me, I happened to look up. And when I looked up again, I seen a gun on his side. And so, unfortunately, sometimes we have a tendency to stereotype. And so the first thing I thought was, I wonder why he's got that gun and where is he going and what's going on. I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. And I kept my eyes on him and I made sure that he made his way wherever he was going, and he was heading to Walmart. And I watched him probably for about 10 minutes until he made that walk across the parking lot into Walmart. I felt safe enough to get out of the car and go in. I went into the establishment to order the food that one of my doctor's offices desired for me to bring that day for their luncheon. And as I was ordering the food, and I gave the young lady my phone because the order was on my phone, and she said it would be easier for her just to read it off the phone herself and put it into the register. So as she was doing that, I noticed one of the doors open, and to be a door that was behind me, and I just on high alert from the gentleman that I just saw with the gun, I looked back just to see who it was, and it was someone different. It was another one of our young brothers that walked in, and when he walked in, once again, with his pants sagging very low. And as he got closer to me and I looked at him, and he was heading toward the restroom, and as I looked at him, I noticed he was carrying a gun. So at that point, I'm really on high alert, and I'm like, what is going on and where am I at? I had not really spent much time in this area that I was in doing the luncheon for one of my doctors here in Georgia. next thing I knew, my eyes just really stayed on that bathroom area that was a little bit behind the register, a little bit behind where the actual lady that was waiting on me that could see. But I was watching him because I didn't know what he may be doing back there in the restroom, and I already knew a couple of escape places that if I needed to, I could escape. So as I looked up and I saw him come out of the bathroom and I looked at him and we met eyes, the next thing I knew, I seen him reaching somewhere because I really couldn't see what he was reaching and what he was reaching for. I just know my eyes stayed on him. And then the next thing I know, I noticed he was putting on a ski mask. And so I looked at him, and all of I could do was just walk away from the counter and move away and go out the door. And when I had to go out the door, I had to go by him. And I just raised my hands and just said, please, under my breath, but with my words coming out through my lips about three times. And he just pointed to the door and told me to go. And I left, and I went to get Pavin Place, and then I called back to make sure that everybody in the establishment was okay. And as I called back, the lady said, well, I don't know what you saw, but he came out of the bathroom, and he came and ordered fries, and he walked across the street and on past the service station. And I said, well, I'm a little too shook up right now. Keep my phone. I don't know when I'm going to come and get it. Right now, I just need to settle down. I'll call you back. So I called her back in about 10 minutes to ask how they were doing to make sure they were okay. And she said, we're fine. He didn't cause any issues here. He got some fries and left. So then about 10 minutes later, I called her back again and asked how things were. And she said, pretty good. And I said, you have any customers? She said, a couple. And I said, well, go ahead and fix the food for me, and I'll get my phone at the same time. But can I go on and pay now? And then I can just get the food through drive-thru. She said, well, we don't have drive-thru, and you can't pay over the phone. You have to come in and pay. I said, okay, I'm going to come back in. I'm going to pay real quick, and then I'm going to move, get the food, and leave because I'm a little shook up what just happened. So she said, that will be fine. I'll have everything ready when you come. I go back in. I go in to pay. It's another lady there that wasn't there before, and she just came on shift, and she began to say, I'm sorry for what happened. I didn't hear everything as to what happened. I just walked in, but my coworker was saying that you got a little shook up over some things that happened here in our restaurant. And so I began to tell her, I said, yeah, I'm a little shook up, and I, you know, I just need to get out of here. And da-da-da. She said, don't say too much. She said, because that same young man that she said that frightened you is back, and he's in the restroom again. And so I began to panic, and I just grabbed all of my stuff, including the food. And she said, oh, you're missing a bag. I said, just throw it on here. Otherwise, it's going to be left. And I said, I got to get out of here. I said, I got to get out of here. And I ran right as soon as I got to the door, he comes out of the bathroom, and he looks dead at me, and his hand is on his gun. And I just walked out the door, jumped in the car, and took off. And so I know there was a purpose and a reason. I don't think it was so much for me to be hurt. I think it was possibly, Jesse, it was for this young man to see a woman stand up and know that she needed to get out of harm's way. And because of the covering that was over me, he probably didn't know what attacked him that kept his hand where it was, that did not attack me in any way, that he probably himself felt the Holy Spirit all on me that jumped on him. And so I'm just going to thank God for the angels. I thank God for Venus. I thank God for Mama Store, because those are my angels I know now that are in heaven. And I know that just before all of this incident happened, I put a picture of Jessica and Venus when Venus first arrived, and knowing when she arrived, she was already going to be already in heaven because she had already passed away inside Jessica. And I had that picture. I just put it as a screensaver 5 minutes before I got out of the car to go in there. So the only thing that was on my mind was Jessica and Venus, knowing that Jessica is still going through her own challenges. And so I always continue to pray for Jessica and thank Venus for being there for her mother. But I'm grateful and I'm thankful that I'm here to share the story, because I know that God has blessings on top of blessings for me and for my family. And I know it wasn't meant for me to have my last breath right there at that restaurant. And then when I went on to one of my other accounts later on and I explained to her what was going on, she said, Tammy, I'm from Chicago. She said, I'm going to tell you what happens in Chicago. I haven't really seen it much here, but it wouldn't surprise me they haven't started doing it here. She said, they go, and if you are the first one in a restaurant or the first one in any establishment, they, for whatever reason, the person on the other side of that table that's taking my order or is taking anybody's order, they already have a setup where they call someone real quick and say, I got a single individual in here, and they are going to rob that person. She said, you were probably being set up to be robbed. That's why she was so calm and collected when you called back and she wasn't afraid. She didn't even call the police because it was probably something she was involved in and setting up to rob you. She said, so I'm just so glad that you were able to get out of there without any hurt, harm, or danger to come upon you. So I just say to all of us, just be careful when you go into establishments, when you're the first one, when they first open. Be careful wherever you go. Make sure you're looking around and know your surroundings. Make sure you do your part to show love and express love to others. Because one of the things I did do to that young lady when I walked in, she was a heavyset lady, and I don't care what you look like physically. There's something beautiful about you somewhere on your body. And she had some beautiful nails on, and I commented about how beautiful her nails were. I commented about how beautiful her eyes were. I just always have to do my part to compliment someone along the way. And so I did my part before I even knew I was in harm's way and letting her know through the experience that I always have what to do. And I was able at that moment to somewhat befriend her and gain a little respect from her and her appreciate me for just a little bit. And she may have been the one also that was a part of calling off whatever was about to happen to me. So I just say to all of us, it's not about who gets the last word. It's not about what you're doing. It's about now. How can I show love? What kind of love are you showing even in your own marriage? I mean, shame on me that I go out and I'm showing love to all of these people because I don't care where I go, who I meet up with. I'm going to compliment them about something because there's something about everybody that can be complimented. And that, shame on me if I don't show that same kind of love to my husband, someone that God has gifted me with until death do us part, someone that God has allowed me to grow with, to be able to love on, to be able to forgive when things happen along the way, and for me to ask for forgiveness along the way. These are the things that I think is so important, that in order for us to want that oneness that God created for us to live forever till death do us part, there is some work that has to be done on our part. That's something small that I might do by complimenting individuals. But there's other things that go along with it because I treat them the way I want to be treated. Because I know and understand that life is not promised to everybody and tomorrow is not promised to any of us. But when it becomes a part of our living and we see tomorrow because God gives us that opportunity to wake up, let us do our part to find out how can we be a blessing to someone else, especially your spouse.
Wow, wow, wow. And look what happened just today in the killings and shootings. Angels on assignment to keep everything intact. The enemy trying to destroy your marriage in so many ways. The death of a spouse, of a child, of a loved one, a close friend, makes the evolution of oneness a dynamic reality, not stagnant, but dynamic. And so as we move through this concept that a lot of people call empty nesters in life, for some of them that's been married, you know, now the self-sacrifice that you made is over. And so now the enemy may try to do things like that. You have a feeling and you got a desire. Now you want to do something to go do something in a split second, the enemy can show up in the form of a person and try to take you out because his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. See, we have to do everything. All of us who are going to face that, we have our children. They're going to leave home. We may have parents, they're going to transition. I mean, all kinds of realities that take place. And when those realities take place, there's a lot of feelings that's involved. A lot of psychologists and psychiatrists talk about the feelings of grief, of loss, of fear, inability, difficulty in adjusting the roles, and a change in the parental relationships, even when a child leaves home, or change in family direction, when a parent or parents may transition on. people really have feelings of depression. And so you, if you've been married for a while, or you've lost a child, or most of us never want to see that. None of us want to see that. But you lost a parent and you was close. You're going to go through all kinds of feelings. And we spoke last week about all of the stages of bereavement. But here's a live example that Tammy just shared that happened last week. I mean, just a week after we had gone through another situation in death. You got to understand, the enemy, the devil, whatever you want to call it, Lucifer, Satan, he is no respect of person. So he's no respect of your marriage. He has the ability to deceive, connive, lie, cajole, and do everything possible. Yes, although we say he, can also show up in the form of a she. He has all of the capabilities to be a deceiver. And Jesus called him a liar. He said, you was a liar all the way from the beginning. No oneness. You can't have it with lies. You can't have it with unrighteousness. And it is one of the most prized pursuits that any of us can ever have. Yet at the same time, it's one of the most difficult to achieve. Think about it. If you're a sports fan of any sport, it takes a whole lot of work to win. You don't just win by accident. You win because it takes a lot of work. So maybe tonight you have a story of how maybe you became an empty nester. Maybe you got into a mode of depression when your children left, or when someone died. How did you get over it? How did you get through it? I know that there are people that use the word that say they're processing. They're going through. That last child has left home, and now they're processing the thoughts and the reality that, wow, now all of a sudden I'm going to be in this domicile all alone with my spouse. Now, some of us get excited about it. So, oh, that's good. But there are those that truly get depressed and don't feel comfortable with the thought or the idea that they no longer can hide behind practices, concerts, you know, whatever the children may have been involved in. They no longer can hide behind that. They got to deal with their spouse. And so, again, if you have an experience you want to share, hit one and share it. And now, otherwise, we'll continue on and just chat about some of these things that keep us from having true oneness. You know, when those children leave, or when I can say you have a death where all of a sudden you truly are, for the first time, alone. You truly are. For the first time, you don't have to give too much, not full consideration to everything you do. You still give consideration, but you don't have to give full consideration to everything you do. What would you do? How would you do it? What are you going to do with all that freedom? Because now all of a sudden you don't feel compelled to do certain things. You feel free. All of the things you did in the past, you did it in love. But now you have options. What will you do with those options to secure and lock down your oneness? Those are questions all of us, at least in our age group, if you're 45 and over, need to be contemplating even before the time gets there. Because trust us, those babies, those elementary children, those middle school children, those high school children, even those in college, trust me, those years are going to pass so fast that all of a sudden you'll be wondering about the grandbabies. The grandbabies. Now, according to statistics, it's a very challenging time. And the reason it's challenging is because we have been sacrificing so much. We don't now know how to turn and focus on us, and focus on each other. I know Tam and I, we made a vow that we're going to get back into the gym. And praise God that, you know, we have. And I went to the gym twice today. I know I can't catch up with all of those months I missed. But I went twice because I went this morning and we did it this afternoon. We made a commitment. What's your commitment to yourself and to your spouse? Now again, that you have some time that's been made available to you. We begin our bucket list of what places we'd like to go. You know, where would we like to go? What would we like to do? We've been all over the Caribbean, and so now we're thinking about continents. You know, what continents do you want to visit? Do you want to go? What kind of people do you want to see? See, we have to become, all of us, we have to enrich our relationships. And the way we enrich those relationships is we begin to set new agendas. We begin to set a new vision. We begin to think in terms of, now what do we want to do to continue and to further our own growth and development? In so many ways, we don't realize it sometimes. Because we are so committed to each other and committed to our family, committed to our children, that we shut down many of the things that we want to do. And we shut it down, and whatever monies and whatever financial capabilities we may have, we devote it in doing those things that's going to allow those children to grow and to develop, allow our families to live the best life possible. Well, now there's a new thing. Now we got to go back and redevelop. What you want to do? What are those things you like to do? Because so often, if you were like Tammy and I, we did some everything together. Work out together, play golf together, run together, play cards together, you know, study together, pray together, you name it. That's when you begin to tap into the richness of the oneness. You know, sometimes people will ask the question, Tammy, well, you know, are you all real? So yeah, we real. We have real arguments. We have real disagreements. We have real frustrated moments and all of that. But I can tell you with assurance, those disagreements don't last that long. Maybe they don't last that long. And I thank God, Tammy, I really do, that he's given us that ability. We could be definitely disagreeable on some subject matter. And then we can have that ability to say, well, let's just forget it. Let's put that on the side for a minute and let's move on to something else. You know, but you have to be able to get at least to there. Don't throw no dukes. Don't call no names. And don't get into no agreement that, oh, no, this is it. Don't ever do that. If one is in a funk like that, the other one cannot be in a funk. But tell me, what else you want to share? We just sharing tonight, folks, that true oneness is forever. But that forever takes a lot of sacrifice. That forever, we had said, are you up to the challenges that await you as you navigate the highways of life in the pursuit of oneness? No journey is more rewarding yet more demanding than the pursuit of oneness. It requires you to give more of yourself than you ever thought possible. Are you willing to provide the service and the ministry that true oneness demands from all of us? If you are, then join us. We share what we have learned in the pursuit of true oneness. So it is difficult. It's challenging. But you have to have a made-up mind. You can't waver. You can't be in doubt. You can't be double-minded. Because a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Your mic is open.
Amen, Jesse. You know, one of the things that you were speaking came to mind. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. You know, the honeymoon doesn't last long. Let's first of all acknowledge that. It's nice to go on the honeymoon. It's nice to be able to go and enjoy yourself and go on a nice vacation and just love all over each other. But then you got to come back to reality. And all of us know that. In reality, it could be some hustle and bustle in our daily lives. And so when you become, you know, that now you're in a oneness and now you're living together and you're married and decisions, you're just not making on your own, but now you have someone else to consider when you're making decisions. And marriages, you know, they're like any other relationship. They can be as strong and as beautiful as we want them to be, but it just takes a little bit of work. And if you're willing to put in a little bit of work, you will go a long way in the marriage of oneness that you desire. There's no such thing as just being in marriage, just existing. You want to experience what God talks about oneness. You can't get anything greater than that. That is just beautiful opportunities to be able to share with one another because you become one. And one of the ways, Jesse, as you were talking, I know Scripture inspires us in so many ways. You know, when you were talking just a minute ago, the one scripture that came to mind was Ecclesiastes 4:12, where it says, also, we can be overpowered, but two together can put up resistance. A three-ply cord doesn't easily snap. So if you really think about it, when we're going through some challenges and we really don't know what to do, that three-strand cord is God that's right there in the midst of everything. And if we grab hands and we pray, we are rebuking the enemy at all costs. He will not have any leeway. He will not even be able to come close to you, near you, if you work together and you are holding hands and praying together and believing and trusting in God. He cannot overcome God. The enemy just does not have that kind of power. But you have to first understand and know it's up to you whether or not you're putting God first in everything that you do. I mean, when I think about that three-ply strand, I think about braids, and I know I've got twists before. And when I've gotten the twist, if they don't twist them tight enough, they kind of come unloose a little bit. But when I get braids, there's three strands that you're tying together, you're braiding together. Those braids very seldom ever come loose. I have to physically take them loose because they're so much tighter. You know, someone would have to physically plow me and Jesse a loose right now with the relationship that we have going on. It won't be something easily done that it will just happen on its own by happenstance. It's not going to happen. And so one of the things that we all have to know and understand, that the Word of God will teach us, it will help us be the individual we desire to be in order to operate in the oneness till death do us part. And that means forever. And so one of the things that we all have to recognize, know, and understand, that if we use the scripture to our advantage, we will do so well in a relationship. When I think about Ephesians, Jesse 5, 28, 30, it talks about that's how husbands ought to love their wives in the same way as they do their own bodies. How many of you are going to treat your bodies bad? How many of you are going to just dog out your bodies? How many of you are just going to curse out your own body? How many of you are going to put your hands on your own body and bring bodily harm? Shame on you if any of you do that, where you know you are bringing harm to the one that God gifted to you in the form of a spouse. And I'm just saying that these are things that we can look at. It goes on to say in scripture, anyone who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hates his own body, but feeds it and takes care of it just like Christ does for the church, because we are part of his body. We're in oneness. We are part of each other's body now. We have, the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we understand that, the better we will do. And I want to just say in closing, Jesse, and let you finish up, because I know that when we think about the Word of God and we understand the Word of God, the Word of God is what's going to help us get through. The problem is so many times we start having challenges in our marriage. We want to stop going to church. We want to stop reading the Word. We want to stop being a part of various prayer lines. We want to stop going to Bible study. We want to stop doing all of these things. And shame on you if you stop going to spiritual counseling, because that's what you need, because that's what's going to keep you together. And I know that there are times when you just want to just forget about everything and give up on everything. But I will say, Psalms 143:8 tells us, tell me about your faithful love come morning time, because I trust you. How many of us really lay down in that bed at night and we know we have to trust our spouse? We don't think our spouse while we're asleep is going to bring bodily harm upon us. We don't think that while our spouse is asleep that we're going to tiptoe out of the house and go be with someone else. No, we trust our spouse when we lay down. And so the scripture goes on to say, show me the way I should go because I offer my life up to you. How many of you have offered your life up to your spouse? There's nothing that I wouldn't do for my husband, even if it brought me harm. Nothing that I wouldn't do. I would jump right into anything that may be going on that's affecting him. And until we get to that point and that state in our lives, we got to keep working. Just keep working. You're not there yet, more than likely. And I pray that you get there, because there's nothing greater than oneness in a marriage, that you're operating by the will of God. And last but not least, 1 Corinthians 16:14 tells us everything should be done in love. And I leave that with you, praying that everything you do in love.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Once again, let the church say amen. We thank God for the ministry gifts of a wife, a queen, and we pray tonight that you have received something in this subject matter. True oneness is forever. Join our sister Leah Killings and come on right after this. You must dial back in. God is love. We are peacemakers. Until we join each other again next week, may you have a great week. May you go and you come in the love, grace, and peace of God.
Agape love.